most terrifying statement in the jungle. An open second hour. Luckily, if I had to, I could carry it by myself pretty easily. Hey now, what's up? Welcome to the program. We start our second hour. I am Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California. I'm in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. It is open because I've got two more interviews, but I am going to have them back-to-back in hour number three. TJ Dillashaw, UFC bantamweight champ, joins us. He's got a big fight coming up. Julian Love, also in hour number three. He's a 2019 NFL draft prospect. Domer Nation, I know it's all about that. So this hour is open. Your phone number, if you want it. That's for Adam Hawk. He was in the house. If you're not watching on CBS Sports Network, you might not have known that. 1-800-636-8686. We had John Rahm on finally. Great golfer, great personality. So glad we had a chance to run him down. And I will be broadcasting live from Torrey Pines next week. Try to make that happen last year. That did not happen. Glad we are going to get it done this time. Romy, your interview with John Roth. Your interview with John Roth was amazing. Not only his stories about Tiger Woods and going around the world, but the fact that he did that interview in a second language without fillers like, you know, and I'm not a golf fan. Clearly, because you're talking about my interview with John Roth. I'm not a golf fan, but I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. Thank you very much. Greg in Omaha, non-Husker. But I'll take the compliment. I'll take the compliment, and so will John Roth. I've said this so many times. There are guys that come on this show that can barely do an interview in English. Sorry, but... And then you have people like that who come on and do an interview, a flawless interview in a second language. I mean, can you imagine showing up for anything and having to speak a second language? There's no way. And not only did he do the interview, that's not a sit-down one-on-one. That's an interview on a nationally syndicated program that's on terrestrial radio, satellite radio, television. It's a pretty big audience now. Like, billions of people are listening. Great interview, Rome. Rom has so much fire on the links. It is refreshing to see emotion like that. But at the same time, showing total humility when sharing his story about beating the cat. Gentleman's game. War more PGA Pro interviews. Nick in Michigan. I can do that. The PGA Tour is amazing to work with. They give us great access. We get lots of PGA Tour pros on, and we will continue to do so. Again, I will be at Torrey Pines next week, so you'll get more of that. My man Charlie Hoffman's already booked. Jockey Mike Smith is booked. So we're efforting. Rome, what a class act. And what a torchbearer for Spanish golf. A much better representative than the gratuity, illiterate, super bag surge. Helping them a hell of a lot more than Mike in Buffalo. Signed, Damasio in Albuquerque. And Rome, do you think... When Chris Hansen asked those perverts if they brought protection, he was talking about overdraft protection.
Laugh out loud.
Steve in PHX. Yeah, no, Steve. I think he was talking about prophylactics. Condoms.
Did you bring condoms with you?
Rubbers. War Rome snapping on his next plane ride and somebody sending the video into TMZ. That will never happen. You know why, Steve? Unless they put me next to you, Steve, that will never happen. Because I don't care. They moved me back 20 rows. It was fine. I didn't snap because I didn't care. All right, so in addition to all that, I want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys for a minute. The Dallas defense was not the only no-show on Saturday night in the Coliseum. In the aftermath of that ass-kicking that Sean McVay and the Rams put on America's old team, one dude was shockingly absent when reporters came around looking for a comment. Jera. If the Cowboys win, there isn't a reporter within 30 miles of the team that can't find Jera. But not Saturday night. No Cowboys victory, no Jera comment. until yesterday. About 72 hours after Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson ran Dallas out of the Coliseum. Now, if you thought a little time between that loss and a live mic were going to give Jarrah some time to settle down, maybe a little clarity on what went down over the weekend, you'd be wrong. He waited less than a week to drop what's going to go down as the most preposterous statement of the entire offseason, and the offseason has not even technically started yet. And shocker of all shockers, it has to do with his head coach, Jason Garrett.
If Jason Garrett had been out on the market 2 weeks ago, he would have had five offers for head coaching. I know that.
How do you know that? I know that. You know that. I need to replay that quote so you can fully grasp the impact of what Jarrah just did and what Jarrah just said.
If Jason Garrett had been out on the market 2 weeks ago, he would have had five offers for head coaching. I know that.
You know that.
I know that.
Yeah, I don't know that. How do you know that? Jarrah saying that Jason Garrett would have had five head coaching offers if he were on the market, it really is one of the more ridiculous things I've ever heard, even from Jarrah. Hell, Triple G, Greg Williams, and his four just show up and sign the contract without interviewing head coaching offers? Thinks that Jarrah might be overvaluing his guy. Check this out. Cliff Kingsbury, Matt LaFleur, Bruce Arians, Adam Gase, my man, Freddie Kitchens. What do all five of these guys have in common? All offensive innovators that the rest of the NFL respects. Now, what does the Ginge have in common with those five? Not much. Not much other than a job title. Again, if Mike McCarthy can't get a head coaching offer after winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers and having eight seasons of 10 wins or more, how the hell is Jason Garrett going to get five? If every GM and owner is taking a big swing to pair their quarterback with a guy who's going to make their offense elite, on what planet are teams lining up to fight for a guy who's had exactly one top five offense since he took over that team? If Jarrah really thinks that the rest of the league is just dying to get their hands on Jason Garrett, then this dude is even more out of touch than I thought he was. Listen, I put respect on the Cowboys. I respect what they did this season. The Ginge actually got that team turned around. After it looked like he was going to be clapping and gum-chewing his way out of a job by Thanksgiving, Jarrah did a nice job in getting Leighton Vander Esch. He's a stud. That gamble in drafting Jalen Smith paid off. That looks great. Hell, the Amari Cooper trade was a win. Moves like that make you forget that this is the same guy that ran Jimmy Johnson off. This is the same guy that actually wanted to pick Johnny Manziel and Paxton Lynch. But all of that added up to what? 10 wins in a whack NFC East and a nice season. Last I checked, nice seasons were not the goal in Big D. At least they shouldn't be. Super Bowl wins were. Or at least they used to be. Jarrah's first words after watching Sean McVay stuff the Ginge in a locker was to praise him and then say that five other teams would have hired him this offseason if they could. You know what that means? All that means is he's setting Jace up for a nice, fat contract extension.
Fat.
Not a matter of if, but a matter of when. 10 win seasons aren't the end goal. They're the first step. And if Jarrah is serious about doing anything other than stacking cash and building his net worth, then he's got to take that blindfold off when it comes to his coaching staff. I mean, I really don't know who this guy's trying to convince when he says five other teams would have hired Jason Garrett. Obviously himself, because nobody else anywhere is buying that. Hell, even Garrett himself isn't buying that. And locking this guy up and thinking he's Jimmy Johnson and Tom Landry all rolled into one after a playoff win, a single playoff win this season, sends the locker room and the rest of the world the message. Message being, good is good enough. As usual, Jarrah is not about the ring. He's about making Jack. He's about building worth for his franchise. And he's about getting other people to look at him and talk about him. And he's about having a coach who will not push back or ask for any control or look to call the shots himself. No, Jarrah's going to do that himself. And If being able to mix in a playoff win every 10 years or so is possible with this guy, then great. Just don't look for these guys to be playing in a Super Bowl anytime soon or ever again. Not with Jarrah around. It's just not his goal. He hasn't been a Super Bowl champ since 1995, and there's no reason to think that he's going to get back anytime soon. Not when he operates like that. Not when being good is good enough. Tell me again, how many offers would this guy get in the open market?
He would have had 5 offers for head coaching.
Give me 5 teams that would have offered that guy a head coaching job. Give me 3. Give me 1 not named Dallas.
I know that.
How do you know that? Seriously, how do you know that?
What do you mean?
How do you know that?
I know that.
How?
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm telling you, they should feel good about their turnaround. They should feel pretty good about that 1 playoff win. Not that good. I mean, it used to be Super Bowls were the thing, and now a single playoff win is there a Super Bowl. I mean, why not give the guy a lifetime exemption? Looking at the calls, 1-800-636-8686. The Chiefs are playing arguably their biggest game ever at Arrowhead. In the history of that franchise, their biggest game ever. I'm looking for Chiefs fans. How do you feel about it? What's going on in that town? What's the vibe like? How confident are you? And if you're going to get into the Super Bowl, what better way to do it than to go through the dynasty, than to go through the hood, than to go through TB12? Chiefs fan, where the hell are you? Here's one. Let's go to Wichita. Earl. Good to have you, Earl. What's up? How are you?
Well, if I live to be 100, I will never forget the first AFC championship at Arrowhead. You might not believe it, but the world missed Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. I love football, especially this time of year when it's running smoothly. I don't know what we would have done without Mahomes. What? You don't know Patrick Mahomes? Well, pull up an ice block and let me tell you. You know Elway and Montana, Unitas and Namath. But do you know the most famous quarterback of all? Patrick the Frog Voice QB, croaking out signals at Arrowhead, beating up on the Colts and busting Brady's heads. All of the other teams passed on him in the draft. They watched him win the Super Bowl and suffered from their gaffe. Chiefs are going to win 32-24, and Greg Williams can't take our head, Jim. Because
that's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Did you just sing your prediction to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Earl. Dude, you're weird. That was a really weird call. You know what, Chiefs fan? Never mind. Don't call. I'll just give you my analysis. I'll break that thing down for you myself. Don't call. I don't care what you think. Either that, Chiefs fan, or let me know that he's not representing all of you. Man, that was weird. That is the strangest, weirdest hype call I've ever heard. And out of season. Bro, Christmas was a month ago. A Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer hype call? For your team, you wait 50 years to be in this position, and that's what you're going to bring. That's the noise you're going to bring. How good do you feel about this matchup? Now, the Patriots, I said I learned my lesson. I picked the Chargers. I felt that it was their year. I thought they were better. I thought they were deeper. I thought they were tougher. I looked at the Patriots. I did not see the same New England team. And even myself, I contradicted myself because I said before that, if there's one lock in the NFL, it's the Patriots on a bye week at home during the divisional weekend. And then I chased that by saying, yeah, but not anymore. It's different. And then they go out there and it's the same as it ever was. So I learned my lesson. I will never pick against these guys ever again. Except they're not the same team on the road that they are at home. We know this. Not this year and not generally. You know, they've only won once. They've only won once at Arrowhead in history. So, what do you think about that matchup? If you can talk about that matchup without putting it into a song about Rudolph, let's go ahead and do it. Still ahead. Oh, the Situation's got one. Kind of off the board. You remember the Situation. Hey, oh. My man got fat and my man's going to jail. Except it's not fat. It's not fat. We have an obesity achievement announcement. Alvin's fat alarm yesterday was replaced by an obesity achievement announcement. I'm not here to fat shame, and you sure as hell better not be either. Coach RD tweets, who is this loon? He needs more airtime. Actually, Coach, you got about as much as he needed. He didn't need any more airtime. You never know who's going to call.
You know the most famous quarterback of all, Patrick the Frog Voice QB.
This guy cracking on somebody else's voice is pretty rich. Patrick the Frog Voiced QB. At Statical Plane tweets, Earl sucks. Signed, Parody Larry. I'll tell you what, I'd put Earl's parody up against most of Larry's catalog. No offense, Lawrence, who's on hold, who's not going to get on. All right, quick timeout. On the other side of this short break, your telephone calls. I want to reset Pat Perez. I love that matchup last night. Philadelphia putting that beat down on the T-Wolves and letting them hear all about it. All of that's coming up next. Clones, Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike that brings the energy of live studio classes right into your home. I know I have one. And the best thing is, it's anytime you want. Winter or summer, rain or shine, with the Peloton bike, it is always the perfect weather to sweat. And with up to 14 live rides every single day and over 10,000 more on demand, nothing will get between you and your workout. Peloton features live cycling classes streaming right into your home every day, featuring real-time motivation from world-class instructors. So whether it's a monthly challenge to meet your goals, maybe a training program for your next race, or setting a new personal best, the Peloton bike will make you want to show up and keep climbing the live leaderboard year-round. I know, I've already got my plan or my ride plan for today. I'm going to take care of my business, go home, knock it out, feel like $1 million. I love it. On average, Peloton members are riding their bikes more and more every year. They're crushing their PRs along the way. You can learn more about the Peloton bike at onepeloton.com. That's where I went when I bought mine a couple of years ago. onepeloton.com. Or visit your local showroom. That's onepeloton.com. onepeloton.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Strange day in the way of telephone calls. Let me read the top of the call screen out to you right now so you know what I'm dealing with. We already had that other call, Earl. And now we have this. It reads exactly like this. I'll take you inside. I'll take you behind the curtain. Line one. Parody Larry. Comments. Need to screen out.
Do-do-do-do.
No, you don't, Hawk. He's not getting on. Don't waste your time. Line two. Andy in Rockland. I have a John Denver story. You know Andy, right? Line three, Johnny in Detroit. I have a cat joke for you. I host a sports talk show, a renowned sports talk show. I've done this for a long time. A guy named Parody Larry is calling. Andy in Rockland wants to tell me a story about John Denver. And Johnny in Detroit wants to tell me a cat joke. And Steven Cincinnati already did a Rick Pitino joke. What is this? America's Got Talent? The Gong Show? It's a sports talk show. You want to talk about the NFC Championship game? You want to talk about the AFC Championship game? You want to talk NBA? You want to talk NHL? You want to talk golf? You want to talk MMA? A cat joke, a John Denver story, a Rick Pitino joke, and Parody Larry. I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about something that I never wanted to talk about ever again. A topic that I never wanted to get into ever again. Larry Nassar. You remember that, right? You remember that name, Larry Nassar. You know, I don't even know the word to describe a guy like that. I mean, I can, but not here. A monster. This guy was a monster who used his position as a doctor for Michigan State and USA Gymnastics to sexually assault hundreds of people. Yeah, well, he's back in the news. Actually, he's not back in the news. Michigan State interim president John Engler is back in the news. And for all the wrong reasons. Engler took over last year after the previous president, Luana Simon, resigned in disgrace hours after Nassar was sentenced. Engler has seemed to go out of his way to do everything he could to make sure that he goes out in that same disgrace. Here are a few of the highlights from the Detroit Free Press. There was the move to cancel a $10 million healing fund for counseling for Nassar survivors. There was Engler's accusation that the first survivor to come forward was getting kickbacks from attorneys. There was another survivor who said that Engler offered her $250,000 to drop her lawsuit. And the list goes on. But let me fast forward to the latest, which was when Engler told the Detroit News last week that there are some Nassar survivors, quote, who have been in the spotlight, who are still enjoying that moment at times, you know, the awards and recognition, end quote. I'm sorry, but did this guy just say that people who were sexually assaulted by a convicted pedophile are, quote, enjoying the spotlight, end quote, you know, the awards and recognition, end quote. In a world of horrible takes, that might be the worst ever. Seriously, you're talking about women who needed medical attention and were sexually assaulted by the doctor who was supposed to provide it, and they're, quote, enjoying the spotlight. What the hell is wrong with you? What the hell is wrong with you? And this is coming from a guy who said that when he took over, he would leave the school as, quote, if my own daughter were on this campus, end quote. Thanks for nothing, loser. Yeah, but don't take it from me. Ask Rachel Denhollander, the first survivor to come forward. Ask her what she thinks. She tweets, quote, Engler references survivors enjoying their time in the spotlight. You mean like having to change the day I grocery shop so my three kids don't see a photo of their mom demonstrating what was done to her body? Tell me more about how enjoyable this spotlight is. End quote. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that nobody was looking to be in the spotlight and absolutely nobody is enjoying, quote, you know, the awards and the recognition. Like when you say that to yourself, you're really telling us about yourself. You're really saying that you enjoy awards and recognition and that it would be something that motivates you to do something. This is the interim school president who followed a school president who mismanaged the situation and then claimed that it was politicized. And yet somehow you managed to make it even worse. I mean, it takes a hell of a lot of work to see what Luana Simon did and then come close to being as terrible at this as her, if not even worse. No wonder news broke this morning that the Michigan State University Board of Trustees is going to meet tomorrow to debate his future. I'm going to go ahead and say that it's going to be a really short debate. No wonder one member of that board declared John Engler's reign of terror is over. Michigan State University will be returned to the people. Yeah, my only question is, what the hell took so long? But you know what? Don't make it about this guy. And don't get me wrong. Him being fired or forced to resign is a great thing. And it shouldn't happen tomorrow. It should have happened a long time ago. But let's go ahead and learn from what this guy did, how he handled it, and never repeat those same mistakes. But understand this, Engler is not the story here. If you want to remember something from the story, remember the survivors. Remember the 168 individuals who gave impact statements at Nassar's trial. Remember their families. Remember the ones who have not yet come forward. Remember their families, too. The Nassar survivors are incredible. They did not seek out the spotlight. They knew they'd be in the spotlight, and they knew it would be painful and ugly and horrible. But they did it anyway because they wanted to make sure that this monster got the justice that he deserved. So the pain that they suffered and the courage that they showed will endure. Remember them. Remember them. When we come back, I will open it up to you again. If there's something that you want to talk about that I have not yet referenced, you go right ahead. Also still ahead, Philadelphia shut down the T-Wolves. And you knew that was going to be something. When Jimmy Butler got a shot at the team that he torched, he lit them up. And they had nothing for him at all. Philadelphia looking to sign anybody and everybody. We'll talk some Major League Baseball. Jameis Winston seems to forget what happened to him last year. Bruce Arians is the guy to fix that, I think, if anybody can. And the situation has one. Plus TJ Dillashaw and Julian Love. But first, a bottom of the hour and a reset of Pat Perez. But first, a...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Patriots at Chiefs, Rams at the Saints. Who do you like and why? All right, so I said yesterday, I know you clones. I know what you like. I know what works. And I knew that the Pat Perez podcast would kill. I knew it. I knew that you'd be all about that. And I knew right when I dropped it, and you had a hard time to get to it, or you had time to get to it, that the reaction would be immense. And so far it is. As an example, Jay Mack tweeted, Pat freaking Perez, epic, very elkish. Jeremiah Hughes tweeted, quote, what a podcast. This is my new favorite. Well done, pimp. Dave McNulty tweeted, Romy, we have a tie for best podcast of all time, Elk and Perez. And remember, that's EP66. And we have not doubled up yet. I have not done any repeats. So I spent a segment of the show yesterday playing back some of the epic clips, F-bomb laden clips from the episode with Pat Perez. I could justify doing that once again today. It's that good. It's that good. So let me just give you a taste. In case you missed it and you're not sure what everybody's freaking out about, I want to give you a quick taste of the kind of guy that Pat is and how real he keeps it. Check out this answer when I asked him if it was better to win a college national championship at ASU or to win with PXG clubs after Callaway dropped him.
Oh, not even close. As great as my national championship ring is, telling Callaway to off with my win, it was the absolute greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
Then there's that. Oh, that's easy. Yeah, that national championship, that was pretty cool. But telling Callaway to bleep off after I won, quote, was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Most guys are not going to F-bomb former sponsors, not on air. But then again, most guys are not Pat Perez. And he took it personally, obviously, as you might expect, when Callaway dropped him. And he loves sticking it to one of the biggest brands in golf when he won with a different set of bats. But he's not just fire takes. He's not just F-bombs. He's got some incredible insight on the younger generation of players, too.
You know, we've got such an unbelievable group of players between Brooks and Rory and DJ and Justin Thomas and Spieth, you know, and Reed. And now you got this Cameron Champ. And I said, we got so much stuff, you know, so many great players coming up that can win at any time. That's why it's so hard to pick a winner now, because there's so many guys. I mean, for 10 years, you knew one guy was going to win when he showed up, and it was a cat, guaranteed. But you just knew that was going to happen. Now it's like you have no idea. But it's so much harder today than back then. But you know what? You know, that's the way they are. See, I didn't grow up working out and all this crap. I mean, I was more old school. You know, you hit balls for 7 hours. You played, you did all the things. And then, bro, after being at the course for like 9 hours, the last thing I want to do is go lift or go, you know, ride a bike at 42. I mean, come on. You know, it's just not for me. I could lift all damn day. I could do all the things I want. I'm not going to hit at 350 like these kids. They have different technique. They have different swings. I learned power a different way, and it just wasn't powerful. I worry for them the fact of how many of them get hurt. Tiger, I mean, that's the, if these kids can't see it, You know, Tiger's had 7 knee surgeries, right? 4 back surgeries, pushing himself to the max. You've heard Rory. He's had a few problems. Jason Day's hurt a lot. You know, these kids, I don't know how much you have to push yourself, but to watch the greatest do what he did, but now, not now, but, you know, for a 5-year stretch there, he paid the ultimate penalty, having to be away from the game because of so many injuries of pushing himself in the gym. So I worry that these kids get too caught up in powerlifting. I just tell Brooks not to get hurt. I mean, Brooks is the size of a house right now. He worked out for 3 months, and he almost finished last in the tournament. I'm like, you know, so what does that prove?
Brooks is the size of a house right now. You know how you can tell when you have a good interview? When that interview is a conversation. And then you know when it's really, really good? When you're the guy that was there for the conversation and you hear it back and it's even better than you remember it. And that's how I feel listening to Pat Perez and hearing that answer. So good. So a lot of you have been asking me how to find that podcast after the episode dropped yesterday. Maybe you're wondering right now. Again, this is not hard. Google Jim Rome Podcast. Search iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or just go to my website, jimrome.com. I also have a link pinned to my profile page on Twitter right now. It's everywhere. You'll find it. And when you do, get subscribed. You only have to do that once. Once you subscribe, you never have to look for any podcast episode after that. They will find you. And I did mention, yesterday I brought back the voicemails for the first time in 2019. Here is a taste of those from Ep 66 with Pat Perez.
Next message.
Tyler in Edmonton. This is Rich in Iowa. Can't tell you this on the regular show, but here's something special for you from this fat American. You!
Message deleted. Next message.
Rome, Cody Parkey here from the Chicago Bears. Heard you were doing a double batch of the voicemails this week, so I had a call. And as far as double things go, you know, my double doink, it's pretty good. My male stripper career will hang on that term alone. Thanks, bro.
Message deleted. Next message.
What's up, Rome? I saw you on the Woodsmax. Epic interview.
Message deleted. Next message.
Rome, you crazy son of a bitch. Paul in Buffalo. Longtime fan. Happy New Year, buddy. Hey, I knew you were the star of Space Jam. I did not realize you were the star of Two for the Money. I didn't realize you co-starred with Pacino, McGonaghy, and Rene Russo. Just saw that flick again, and you stole the show, brother.
Message saved.
Hey, guys, did you check out my interview on Woodsmax? Did you see me co-star with Rene Russo and Matthew McGonaghy?
McGonaghy.
On Two for the Money. Sober up. Does anybody sober call that line ever? I've told you before, when I give that phone number out, if I can get to it, I will pick it up. And I've talked to a few of you. Everybody's always blasted. I've tried to have those conversations. 949-385-0447. Call that number. I'm not picking up right now. I'm doing the show. But if you call that number, I might pick it up. Either way, it puts you right through to the voicemail. Try and be sober. I'm asking that you be sober. Matthew McGonaghy is asking that you be sober. And anybody who has anything to do with the Woodsmax.
The Woodsmax.
Want you to be sober. So Pat Perez and a full batch of voicemails just like those. Check it out right now. Or check it out right after the program. You'll be very happy you did. Do it. Do it. Jeff in Raleigh tweets, all I can say is, holy bleep. Ep 66 with Pat Perez left me speechless. Hashtag Team Perez. The content is so good. He is so good. He's amazing. It's free. You can listen to it during your commute. You can listen to it while you're working out. You can listen to it over the weekend. You can listen to it while you're doing chores. He tweets, war skirt steak. That story is amazing. Notice I haven't even reset that. I can't even find a way to reset that. I can't reset that even with bleeps on this show. So believe me, there's a lot more that I've gotten to on this show. War skirt steak, war Sunny D and vodka, unwar Callaway golf. Lewis in H-Town emails, great interview of Pat Perez. He's about 4 years younger than me, but after checking out his playlist, he definitely grew up on 80s music like me. He also rocked the mullet like me. I tried to Instagram him and tell him all of this, that I caught that interview. I do not know if it went through or not. I have never had an Instagram account before today. Nice telling him the story about Mrs. Doubtfire. I was there at that tour stop when you rode in on the convertible with Lima time driving. Believe it. Lewis in H-Town. My man, Lewis. Good job. I love Lewis. Like, hey, I heard the interview, so I had to try out that Instagram thing. I tried to Instagram him, and I don't know if I went through. That's too much. Keep trying. Good job, Lewis. Rome, just finished the podcast before turning in. So much great stuff. Only one way to top it. Pat and Elk at the same time. Join the ATX. They're boys, too. Shocking. Shocking development. This just in. Pat and Elk are good friends. Elk helped set that up. True in West LA. We can't find the podcast. Can you help? Sign people that are attentive during pre-flight seatbelt instructions. See, that's the thing, Drew. It's kind of funny to you, but there are people who still can't find podcasts. There are people who still not understand it. Still do not understand it. I'm here to help. All right, as I mentioned, I read you the call screen. I said, it is a weird day for calls. Let's see if it gets more weird or if it gets better. Now, this gal, she's familiar with the podcast. She is familiar with the voicemail. In fact, she's a legend of the voicemail. And she's come off the voicemail to come on the show. Andy in Rockland. Andy, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Good, Andy. How are you?
Good, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay, so I heard you guys talking about John Denver. And I actually saw his plane crash into the Monterey Bay.
You did?
Yeah, this is a true story.
When it happened?
Okay, so my parents have a house, beach house, down in Pacific Grove. And I was driving down there, and I was right on the freeway next to the water. And I saw a little white plane crash into the water. So then when I got to my parents' house, I told them, and we turned on the news, and then we found on Denver. And then my dad said, maybe he was on the Rocky Mountain High.
Your dad said that?
My dad said that. Yeah, he's very conservative.
All right, but, so like when you saw that plane go down, Andy, what was your reaction? Did you think like, did I just see that? Or what did you do? What did you think?
I was shocked. And because where I was, the Monterey Bay Airport was right kind of near where I was. But I had no idea it was John Denver.
How could you?
I thought I'd share the story.
All right, Andy, thank you very much. See you on the podcast. Well, it came up. And again, I didn't ask for a reaction. When it first came up, I didn't say, hey, does anybody have a John Denver story they want to share? But then again, if you have to wait for me to suggest something, I guess I would never get a phone call, much less that one. Her dad said he was on a Rocky Mountain High. Alvin. All right, anyway, it's... You know, God rest his soul. You don't need to talk about John Denver. Unless there's a reason or a sports connection or even a non-related sports connection, if there's a reason to do so, we will. But right now, there's not. It's a sad, sad story. And Andy, your dad, I mean, I'm not there, but he's a savage, Andy. I mean, what a savage thing to say. All right. When we come back, TJ Dillashaw dropping in weight, trying to become the double champ. Great story. That's coming up next. Julian Love right after that. Third hour, straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're in a 5-minute break.